And I welcome on to the programme our first guest, and that is Una Butler. Good morning to you, Una.
Good morning, Greg.
Just reading the words I have in front of me, it's unimaginable what you have been through, Una. You've lost your family, effectively.
Yes. In 2010, my husband, who was suffering with depression, he killed my two children. Zoe was six and Ella was two, and then killed himself. And I campaigned then for changes to the Mental Health Act for family and spouses, you know, to be involved in the treatment of a person that suffers with the health in order to help prevent further cases from happening. And I suppose at the same time I was looking for an investigation from the HSE into the treatment of my husband who had suffered with his mental health.
You weren't aware, were you, that you weren't aware the his condition to its full, were you?
Well, I was aware that, you know, I was obviously aware that he was suffering with depression and was taking antidepressants. He had been discharged from the services 3 months prior to my family's tragedy, if you want to call it that. You know, so I suppose what I'm looking back in hindsight is that the medical professionals would have gained a greater insight had I been involved more so initially at the time, maybe a year beforehand when he was first prescribed the antidepressants. I may have been, I was in the appointments with him for the first few minutes only though, you know, but I'm just saying, looking back in hindsight, I should have been involved more, that everybody would have gained, you know, benefited. I would have been, hopefully, been educated about his illness and the effects of what that might have on the family and on him in particular, but overall to benefit everyone concerned, really, you know. The medical professionals might have, I believe that, you know, John, my husband, went in and told the medical professionals what he wanted to tell them, you know. They would have gained a greater insight had I been involved, you know.
It's hard, though, isn't it? Because how do you... and we had a debate on this not so long ago on this radio station, is how do you actually legislate to it what as it relates to permissions, former partners, current partners? It's complicated, isn't it?
It's complicated, but it is possible, you know. Patient confidentiality is really at the core here, you know, when a person that's suffering with their mental health. And... patient confidentiality doesn't have to be broken if a spouse or partner is involved in the treatment. You know, the health professional just has to listen to what they have to say. They don't have to divulge what the patient is telling them.
Yeah, and there's another issue, isn't there, in that, you know, suicide is very much underreported in this country. The phrase murder-suicide is and the act of that also significantly underreported. If we don't have correct statistics, if we don't have correct knowledge, it's very hard then to legislate for it, isn't it?
Well, I compiled statistics on murder-suicide myself since 2000 in the Republic of, Ireland. There have been 28 cases of murder-suicide. 32 children have been murdered. 11 adults have been murdered and 27 suicides. And I suppose where it's a parent involved, you know, it's a very big tragedy and something awful to have to live with, that you have to bury your own child. But when it's a parent, you know, if a child dies through an illness, which is horrific in itself, but when it's a parent that murders a child, and the statistics itself speak for themselves, like in all of these cases, 60% of the perpetrators had a history of a psychiatric illness.
And maybe too, we need to generally separate it out, because look, anyone who watches TV or reads the newspapers or listens to the radio knows that in many cases of murder, it's or other serious assault or what have you, it is someone that's known to you. But we don't cover them as murder cases, you know. I mean, 30 children murdered in a country of our size is very, very significant, but it's not being treated sort of as, you know, a spate of murders, if you understand. I know this is very sensitive, Una, but I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
I do, and it's, you know, it's a Garda investigation because it's a murder, and the Gardaí do their job, and they have finished the investigation, but it stops there, you know. All these cases have to be, investigated in more depth. They're not investigated. That's the thing. Unless there's another case, it just comes to the fore again of how often these cases are happening.
They're being treated as open and shut cases, aren't they, Una? And that's the problem. It's just like a line's drawn under.
this is it. Like, yeah. And it seems to be justifiable because the person was suffering with their mental health. And that stops there. You know, these awful tragedies need to be investigated further.
Now, they are. I mean, what happens is if you read it, generally speaking, and it can vary a little bit if it's between the dad and the mum, but that's a different conversation. But it is reported in the newspapers and elsewhere that it is a tragedy, not a murder-suicide, yeah. if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we're sort of, I don't know, what's the media's role in that? Then how should that be being reported?
I'm not sure how it should be reported. It's a murder-suicide. Mm. And
should the suicide be secondary to the fact that a child has lost its life and has been murdered, I wonder?
I think the way they're looked at is it's such an awful tragedy, as if, you know what I mean, it couldn't have been prevented. Yeah. In a sense, but I believe the reason I campaigned is that I believed that my family, my two children, should be alive today had I been included in my husband's treatment,
yeah.
and he shouldn't have been treated in isolation. And
who would have excluded you in that process, Una? I mean, how were you excluded? And I'm not saying you were sort of pushed out of the whole process, but it's the easiest way for me to sort of ask the question.
Yeah, well, I feel that I should have been more involved. You know, I'm looking back here in hindsight, and I should have been more involved. And I believe that the health professionals would have gained a greater insight. But the problem is, you know, I've interviewed Professor Ella Rensman, who's the director of the National Suicide Research Foundation, and she said that, you know, it's not standard practice in Ireland for a person that suffers with their mental health to actually be asked the question, do you want to involve a family member?
Yeah.
You know, it's not standard practice. And in other countries, it's a given that family are involved in the treatment of a person that suffers with their mental health. And I do believe that's the stigma here in Ireland. I said, I think it's creating a stigma in itself. Maybe it's down to resources. Maybe it's, you know, that, you know, it's a control thing. I just don't know. But
well, you know, you don't see many people sitting in A&E on their own, or you don't see many people sitting in the outpatients on their own. You know, so we often make this comparison between physical and mental health,
yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, we still have even that difference is really a very, very crucial one. The difference in that your eyes, you go on your own, like.
And I think it depends on what type of mental health it is. For example, my mother had Alzheimer's, and there was great family involvement in her treatment. Why can't it be the same for a person that suffers with depression? You know, I think this barrier comes down, you know, by the health professionals, whether they haven't enough resources to be able to involve the family, or that they're not trained or skilled enough to be able to, you know, educate the family on what's going to happen, what the effects of the medication are, and how you should support. And it's overall to support the person that's suffering.
I think the easiest thing that could be achieved is that the option is given, because, you know, there could be, for instance, a vulnerable woman who, as an example, who's issues could be being caused by their partner, and that could be part of the problem, you know. So that's where the complexities lie, really, perhaps.
But let them find that out,
yeah,
and find an excuse why not to involve family members if they're living with children. You know, children, it's paramount to involve a family member when there's children living under the same roof. You know, and it's there to protect children as well, and the patient and the person that suffers. You know,
how would you cover that then? Say, for instance, if a couple was separated, but the person seeking treatment still had regular access to the children.
Well, just can I give you an example?
Please.
Like, in St. Patrick's University Hospital in Dublin, which is specifically for people that suffer with the mental health. A patient is assigned a key worker, and it's a team of health professionals are treating them. And that patient has to nominate a family member for the health professionals to contact if there's any query or concern. And it also gives the family an opportunity to give information to the health professionals as well. So that's in a private healthcare area. So that's the difference between public and private. It does come down to public and private healthcare as well.
Yeah. It's a conversation that needs to be had, and fair play to you, Una, for talking about your own situation and doing your own research, of course. I understand the whole background to it, but it's good that we're talking about it, at least, is it? But we need to also be making sure that we're not just talking.
No, exactly, yeah. I know, yeah.
Una, thank you very much for coming on the programme.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay, take care. That's Una Butler from Cork. She lost her two young daughters and husband in a murder-suicide. We've a lot of work to do, haven't we?